Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of June, recording at 9:32 p.m. British Summer Time. I think I said in last night's audio that I would not be here this evening to do this broadcast, but, well, here I am, for better or worse. And let's look at the highlights on the day, such as they were. Weakness in stock markets was evident in Asia, particularly in India, which is down 2%. We had spillover selling in the European markets. Remember, they'd closed higher yesterday before Wall Street declined. Wall Street bucked the weaker trend for most of the day, then moved to the minus column, but closed almost unchanged. Tiny losses for the Dow and the S&P. The NASDAQ was quite firm. Transports were also up. Most financials, I think, have been fairly soft. Okay. Long-dated government bonds. U.S. Treasuries were quite weak when Bernanke said that U.S. inflation was much higher than the Fed wanted. That boosted the U.S. dollar once again, which is the dollar index is half a point away from its high that we saw last month, still within its range. And precious metals sort of seesawed a little bit, closing well off their lows. But gold today, gold's still down a little bit, down 1.67 here today at 878.88. And some of the metals that had been hit hard recently, nickel and zinc, and they have bounced a bit further in here today. And crude oil, last but not least, crude oil down over $2, currently trading at 122.15, and natural gas pushing higher. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets remain in this, what I have described as this reactive phase. And there are a number of very identifiable headwinds. One is the weakness of financial shares in many, but not all, stock markets. But the Indian bank shares have been quite soft in Asia, following their phenomenal strength at the beginning of this year. So no lack of volatility there, for better or for worse. And the U.S. and European bank indices have been pretty weak overall, and of course that spawns all sorts of additional rumors. And there's seldom smoke without some fire, to coin a phrase. So that's a headwind. The inflation story has been a major headwind, and although oil is well off its highs and looking increasingly like a medium-term correction, that's my view, although it's been jawboned down to a certain extent, but this is a somewhat bigger reaction than we had seen previously. We can't exactly crow about bargain oil at $122 a barrel. And we'll run through more of these headwinds. And then there is the global growth slowdown and, of course, the downward revisions for corporate profits, which generates some concern, and not least in terms of possible dividend cuts. So there's plenty for stock markets to worry about here, and that is not going to change overnight, but I don't want to exaggerate the problems. Japan, I hadn't mentioned that in the highlights, but that was a positive highlight here today, about the only Asian stock market that was higher. Actually, I see that the Australian market was up a tiny bit in here today, but Japan was up over 1.5%, and the Japanese bonds are really quite strong. Now, I've said before that Japan cannot do it on its own, but since I got back from holiday this week, at the beginning of this week, Japan has really looked in a different class to many of these other stock markets. Of course, there's some little ones that are just running riot, mostly in the MENA, the Middle East and North Africa markets. Now, that's a momentum play. When you get something like Oman, it can, hitting new highs day after day. I don't want to belittle Oman's considerable achievements, but I think this is weight of money going into an area that is currently performing, which creates its own momentum move. You see it all the time. We've seen it with every asset class we can mention. We've seen it in resources more often than not. We certainly saw it in Asia for a long time, but that's a lot of that's gone into reverse or into ranges. And we saw it in the oil prices until very recently. We saw it in food prices until many of those started to peak in January. So I think that's the story in terms of today's action. I don't doubt that there are fundamental improvements in that region, quite considerable fundamental improvements in that region. But why are they performing now relative to other areas? I think this is just the fashion play within markets. And what that means is when some of the areas that are losing support as active managers in seek of short-term performance switch funds around, that when some of the markets that are currently underperforming begin to perform once again, as they surely will, then we will probably see a not insignificant setback in a number of those MENA markets. But meanwhile, they're top of the pops. Now, but I think Japan to me is a really interesting heavyweight recovery candidate. But as I said, it's not going to do it on its own or just with MENA, most likely. On the other hand, I think that if Wall Street's leash effect were to turn from negative, not aggressively negative, but certainly a headwind, if that were to turn benign, bit of a tailwind, then I think we would see Japan move up very sharply. And it is currently, as I said, a relative performer. India, why was India down 2%? Well, because India and some of these other countries are removing or decreasing their oil subsidies. Now, that's caused all sorts of concerns about inflation and will it lead to some forms of unrest and so on. These are short-term problems. But I said yesterday, and I'll repeat it here today, I said it yesterday in my written copy, that the subsidies are not a good idea. And they distort markets and they may seem humane, but what really happens is that they take capital away from more productive areas and that does not help the poor to improve their lot. Well, this is an argument that's going to be very familiar to most people. So, yes, removal of oil subsidies is short-term negative in terms of sentiment. It's very much a long-term positive. Of course, we still have the problem of resources inflation and high energy prices. That's the environment we live in, and you and I can only deal with the realities of what the market provides here. Now, what else to mention that's important here? Fed's action on the Well, as first, yes, let's take the Fed's action in terms of talking about inflation and giving a little bit of a boost to the US dollar. I think it's very natural that the Fed is going to want a firmer dollar in here. Right now, I've got a good report from Citigroup Forex on this that I'll be posting shortly. I think that the dollar's upside is limited mainly to short covering, as I've mentioned before, and I won't repeat all the arguments that are in my written copy. It's my main piece here today. But I think what the Fed does not want to see is another slump in the dollar, and none of the US's trading partners want to see another slump in the dollar here anytime soon. So if they can squeeze some of the shorts out and maintain the current range for a little while longer, I think that'll be quite positive overall. I do not envisage a big recovery in the dollar. It's just not sufficiently competitive to merit that. Maybe it'll be different when interest rates start moving upwards once again, but I don't expect that anytime soon. I'm talking about US interest rates. I don't expect that anytime soon, and although there's talk about it currently, but it's just talk. And those interest rate differentials remain negative. And the people who hold most of the dollars, the creditor nations, foreigners who hold most of the dollars, are not keen to accumulate more of them, understandably. So I see further ranging here in the currency markets. Now, the next big theme that's taking place here right now, of course, is the jawboning to get the oil price down. And we have the investigations, politically motivated investigations into commodity speculation, commodity investment, call it whatever you want. I've commented on these at length recently. But what I want to do is to think beyond the day-to-day stuff on this and what will the likely impact be in terms of future investment and trading fashion. Well, none of these hedge fund managers or pension fund managers are going to want to be hauled before regulatory committees, Senate committees, or to be pilloried in the press and elsewhere. And they like to keep a low profile, at least the sensible ones do. And therefore, if there's spotlight's going to be on oil, and this is an emotive subject, then they're going to vote with their feet, feeling that they've had a good run, that the game is probably over for a while, and I agree with that. So, but where are they actually going to go? And I think I mentioned yesterday that this will make precious metals certainly look more attractive, and I think that we will. Well, this is a quiet period seasonally for the precious metals, but it's probably not a bad idea to nibble a little bit at these levels. Also, in terms of the gold-oil ratio, gold is about as cheap against oil as it's been, well, since at least 1984. I don't have data going back before that. And I think we'll probably see some additional interest in the industrial metals as well, and some of those are very cheap, notably nickel and zinc. They look quite oversold to me. The secular bull market goes on. There's going to be plenty of infrastructure infrastructure building. And anything else to mention here? I think that's pretty much it, but a little bit more on oil. I think this, as I said, to repeat my point, I think this is a medium-term correction for crude oil. I don't feel as decisive about it as I perhaps have in the past, because we haven't had the same sort of dynamics on the downside that really do indicate a market that has gone into an important corrective phase. So say this has been jawboned down or pressured down, and it's been a more gradual decline overall, but it is now beginning to alter the uptrend consistency, and that uptrend was pretty overextended, as I had mentioned previously, and I think sentiment in that market has changed. And additional technical confirmation would certainly appear if we saw a break below the $120 level. I think that's going to happen, since I think this is in a medium-term corrective phase, but that would provide additional evidence to support my view. I think that's pretty much it in terms of the main factors, so I'll just say all the best to all of you.